Let's just pray for a minute. Jesus, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. We don't just make room for you, but we give you this whole room tonight. Holy Spirit, you can have the room. God, you can take every word out of my spirit. Let it be your voice. Let it be your words tonight. God, you can have the next moment and the next moment and the next moment and the next moment. And you can keep on taking every next moment that we have. Because if you're not in the next, we don't want it anyway. So we love you tonight. We love you tonight. Amen. It's one thing, you know, to say, God, we make room, and we do need to make room. But sometimes you need to just give him the whole thing. Because when you make room, that means you're probably still taking a little bit for yourself. And so it's going to be really important that you just give him the whole enchilada. The whole thing. Now listen, if you've never heard me speak before, this is not a spectator experience. So I expect you to talk back to me, and I expect to have a conversation in the room with you tonight. Because the Holy Spirit's been having a conversation with me, so we are going to have a conversation. I'm ready. Listen, the definition of next, you'll probably hear this 10,000 times, but the noun version is one that is next. Say, that's me. Here's the kid definition. I love this because I'm a teacher. I used to be first grade. It's my favorite grade to teach. But the kid's definition of next is a person or thing that immediately follows another person or thing. It's really that simple. Next is one that is next. I didn't say that just the thing that's next, the season that's next, the one that is next. Say, I'm the one. If I could put a title on this message tonight, I'm going to call it, I am the next. Come on, y'all, look at somebody. Just look at them with a little bit of attitude and just say, I am the next. Man, Angela, that sounds a little bit arrogant. Why? We need people to step up and be the next. I need some women to woman up and be the next. I want to share this story with you. Actually, before I do that, can I get like just about three or four volunteers up here? Just anybody, like two or three people, just run. I don't have a t-shirt, but you can run up here. I don't have a hat. Come on, girl. There's one, two, three, four. That's plenty. That's plenty. Come on up. Come on the rug that we're not supposed to have shoes on. Come. This is a rug on loan in a shoeless house. I don't have a shoeless house. We wear shoes in my house. But in this house, you don't wear shoes. You know, you check them at the door. Who has a shoeless house? You people. You see person up here. It's okay. It's okay. We will honor that. So, oh yes, ma'am, that is Anna Pakoda's rug. All right. So, if y'all could just kind of stand the kid's definition of a person or thing that immediately follows another person or thing. Can y'all just face me right here? Can y'all just face me? Oh, you're such good kiddos. You're in line. You're so good. All right. You don't even have the chain thing to hold on to. You're doing great. So here's the thing. There's so many times that we get in a line like this. Have you ever been in a line? Maybe at Marshall's, I don't know. Maybe at Disney World in a mask, I don't know. And you've been waiting in that line for a really long time. And you're almost the next one in line. And all of a sudden, you're coming up, you're next. And she just walks right in front of you. Just cuts the line. Oh my. How many of you would say something to that person? How many of you would say it in your head a lot worse, but you would just wait? That's me. I would just be like, well, whatever. Go ahead, girl. If it's that important, you know how you know, whatever. Okay? So we've got that issue. And then sometimes, go back to the back of the line. Sometimes you get up to the front of the line, Which, by the way, this is Rebecca. She's from Oklahoma. Woo, woo. And you get to the front of the line, and you're up here, and you're like, all right, I'm ready. So it's just going to be, I don't know, $125.32.
I got chapstick.
So you're not ready. You're not, well, you're going to have to go get your wallet. Go. You'll have to get back in line. Go get your wallet. Get back in line. Come on up. Come on up. So for you, it's just going to be, I don't know, I'm going to give you a discount. We're going to call it $50.22 for the same amount of stuff. That's awesome, right? All right, you ready? No, you don't have any money. Go to the back of the line. Go get your wallet. Go to the back. Go to the back. No. There's no real wallet. Well, listen, I'm trying to believe, sister. I am trying to believe. I am trying to believe. All right, you guys get the point. All right, you're out of line. Y'all can go sit down. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, I don't get nothing.
You don't get nothing, girl. And you were the first volunteer. I don't even know what we're going to do about that. Listen, there are moments that we are standing in line, and God gave me a vision. And I was standing in a line just like you saw those girls. This was just a couple weeks ago. We picked this name, we pick it back in, August. But I was standing in line, and people kept cutting. I would get right up to that front, and somebody would butt in front of me. And in the line, I just was like, okay, that's fine. That's fine. I'd just take a step back, and another person would go. And I'd take a step back, and another person would cut in front of me. Then I'd try to get back up a little bit, and then somebody would come in front of me. And it kept happening over and over and over and over. And God said the reason that you're not stepping in to what I've called you completely to do is because I have you next in line and you're letting everything else in front of you. You're letting everything else, things and people and circumstances, be next. So let me take it up a notch, because y'all know my stories. They're just intense because God is just not nice to me. He's just not nice. I can tell you all the next stories of my life. We could be up here for hours. Opened a business, went through a lawsuit. What's next? You have breast cancer. What's next? It didn't go anywhere. Oh, no, it went to your lymph nodes. Now you got to do chemo. Now you got to do this. Okay, God, what's next? So a couple of nights ago, about a week ago. So I just had, hopefully, y'all, my last surgery. 4 weeks ago today. Woo! I'm really not supposed to be lifting my arms, but I don't think my plastic surgeon is watching, so we're good. Had to have a little reconstruction. Sorry, guys. Pretty intense surgery. I have a nice 13-inch scar on my back, so it's very entertaining. But anyways, I had called my husband in. Can you stand up, Tim, really quick? Give Tim Fox a big shout out. You should pray for Tim. So I was in my little power lift chair from my surgery, and I was sitting there, and I called Tim in, and we were talking about Priceless, and I wanted his opinion on something. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. I called Tim Fox in to get his opinion, but I did. And so we started having this conversation, and all of a sudden, this conversation went from here, and it spiraled fast downward, really down, really low. Like, I'm a pretty tough cookie, and I was bowing up to Tim, and he's like, oh, no, you're not really listening to me. I'm like, you're not listening to me. And then all of a sudden, my anger shifted to tears. Girls, that's the worst. I'm like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. And it was rough, wasn't it, babe? It was a rough conversation. For both of us, it was a rough conversation. But Tim didn't cry. I was the only crying person in the room. And so after he went to bed, because he goes to bed really early these days. I think he's getting old. But so he went to bed, and I was just sitting in the chair and now bowing up and trying to come back at him. And all of a sudden shifted to this thing inside of me that said, are you sure you're even called to be doing this? Why are you doing this? And maybe you're trying to kick down a door. Maybe you're trying to push something into existence that isn't supposed to be in existence. I think you keep trying to lead things and you keep trying to pastor, and it's the same old cycle, and it's the same discussion I have with the Lord, and it's the same thing over and over, and I'm just sobbing like a baby till 4:30 in the morning in my chair, just feeling sorry for myself. I'm just going to be honest. Jesus was totally not in the room. I'm pretty sure he left about 1 a.m. because I was just like, nothing good was coming out of my mouth. Nothing good. And so finally, about 4:30, I decided to surrender and ask God if he would like to talk to me. So I said, you know, Lord, what is it? Am I missing something? Am I something? And he said, well, you know, I have assigned you to do some things in the earth, pandemic or no pandemic, COVID or no COVID. I have assigned you to do some things in the earth. So are you going to do them? And I'm like, well, I mean, I guess I'm going to do them, but there's a lot of things in the way right now. There's a lot of obstacles. Maybe God, if I could quit having surgeries, that'd be great. Maybe I could do some. So I'm talking back to him, and he says to me, the problem is I've called you and assigned you in these areas to be the next. And if you are not willing to export what is on the inside of you, then you might as well come be with me. Because that's what I did to your dad, my physical father, who founded this church. I said, I'm sorry, excuse me, what? Yeah. Your dad had to come on up here with me because there were certain things that he had kind of reached that point and he wasn't going to export anymore what was in him. So I had to pass it to the next generation, which is my brother and I that you just met a minute ago up here. And he said, so if you're going to do the same thing, I need you just to tell me now. So either you're going to be the next, you're going to step out and not wait for the next. You're going to be the next. Because what I've called you to do is in you. It's not waiting for you over there. And so, I mean, what in the world do you say back to God? Okay, yes, I don't want to die today. I mean, what do you say? But he has spared my life over and over. And he kind of reminded me of that. And he said, hey, you know, I kind of kept you here for a reason. Otherwise, I would have taken you, but I'm going to give you the chance. Here's your chance, girl, to be the next. How many of you know that rocked my world? And tonight, I believe there is a turning point in the spirit, because sitting in that chair, I had a turning point. A word that we say a lot in my house, there was a pivot point that I could choose. I was going to pivot and go back to what I know or where I've been or what I'm comfortable with or what I'm familiar with, or I was going to pivot and be the next for this season ahead of me. Are y'all still here? So tonight I believe there's a turning point in the spirit. And there is an anointing for the next in this season. And you and I, ladies in this room, we need to know, we have to know who we are. We have to know, what am I assigned to do without apology? I cannot continue allowing other people and things and my past and everything else keep cutting in line. We've all had one of the most challenging years that we've ever had. And we have allowed things, I say we because I just think there's just nobody exempt in the room after this year. We have allowed things to be thrown at us in a place where it feels like it's hard to move, and so much thrown at us that it weighs us down. Lynn said earlier, it's weighty in the room. It was weighty from the Holy Spirit, but there's some other weightiness in this room. And we're going to address it tonight. Sometimes things just get thrown at us. And I believe it's time for you and I to stand up and to choose to be the next and take what life's been throwing at me and throw it back. See, we think those stones that are being hurled at us are to cause all this damage to us. And we find ourselves, thank God for this chair, just sitting down and just letting it just hit us like hail in a thunderstorm. And being like, you don't understand. I can't do another surgery. I can't do another thing. I can't take another conversation like that. I can't have another situation like that with Tim. I just can't, Lord. And we find ourselves just sitting there instead of realizing that every one of those stones that's been thrown at you and I is actually something that God's providing you a weapon to turn around and kill a giant. And tonight, God's going to remind us of what he said. He's going to remind us of what he promised. This weekend, it's time to put a demand on the promise. This weekend, it's time for you to put a demand on your situation again. It's time for you to put a demand on what's been missing. Put a demand on what is broken. Put a demand on your purpose. Otherwise, you can just go to the back of the line. Y'all, I don't like to be at the back of the line. Listen, if I walk in TJ Maxx and that long line and it's wrapped all the way around backwards, I'm like, I'm out. Especially when you went in there for one thing. You're like, oh man, are these earrings worth it, Jesus? Speak to me. Are they worth it? No, we don't like to be at the back of the line. What if tonight we choose to turn those stones into weapons? What if tonight we choose to have a turning point? See, because ultimately I can only choose for me. I cannot choose for you. You have to choose for you. And I think if you're here tonight, you probably are hungry for something. I hope you are. We got to be hungry, girls. We got to get hungry. And if something's going to shift and something's going to turn, we have to start talking different and acting different. It's time I learned to prophesy over my own life. It's time I learned to say, God, I'm not going to wait on somebody else to prophesy breath. Come breathe in me. So I want to take you to a really familiar story. And we're going to kind of camp in this. I didn't even give you all the scripture back there. I'm so sorry. It's 1 Samuel 17. And I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. So if you have your phone, your iPad, if you have a real Bible, whatever you got with you. Turn to 1 Samuel 17. Now, how many of you are familiar with the story of David and Goliath? I fought Jesus for all day. About speaking of this, I'm like, God, this isn't kids' church. What am I, really? Like, David killed Goliath. He said, no, David stepped into his destiny and became the next because of Goliath. It's not about that David was sent to kill the giant. The giant was sent so David could be revealed what was in him. Y'all going to get that in about an hour. So let me set this up for you. In 1 Samuel 16, I'm going to put it in the microwave. In 1 Samuel 16, Samuel goes looking because God is sending him to anoint the next king. Saul is currently king. So he goes to Jesse's house. Jesse's got all these sons. I don't know. Jesse had a lot of sons. And so he goes to every single one of them, all of them, all of them. Nope, 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 nope. And then he says, is this it? Well, I think this is it. Are you sure this is it? Oh, well, there is the little, we have a little shepherd boy. He's out watching the sheep. He's the youngest, but I mean, it's probably not him. Well, why don't you go get him? And none of us are going to eat or do anything till he gets here. Pretty sure they got David pretty fast. So they went and got David out of the watching the sheep and being a shepherd and bring him in. And Samuel's like, yep, this is him. Anointed king. Bam. Just like that. And then guess where David went? Right back to watching the sheep. oh, I came to that service a year ago and that prophet said that God was going to blah, 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 blah. None of it's happened. David didn't become king for 22 years after that moment. How long are you willing to wait? Dang, that wasn't even in my notes. That was good. All right, so fast forward. Three of David's brothers are now at the battlefield where Israel is fighting a standoff battle with Philistines. Okay? This huge 9-foot-tall guy, he's taunting, he's provoking his enemies every day. This has been going on for 40 days. He comes out, he hurls all these insults, he taunts everybody, he threatens everybody, and the Israelites, the army of Israel, they freak out and they run because they're terrified every day. Whose team would you like to be on? I don't know. These days, you might jump ship pretty quick. Anyways, 1 Samuel 17, verse 17. One day, Jesse said to David, so David's still at home. What's David doing? Watching the sheep. And his daddy says, hey, take this basket of roasted grain, these 10 loaves of bread, carry them quickly to your brothers, and give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. I want to be with the captain. See how your brothers are getting along, and bring back a report on how they're doing. David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army at the Valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. Verse 20. So David left the sheep with another shepherd. I'm sorry, what do you do? So he didn't abandon his place just because somebody told him he was going to be a king. Okay, that's just a bonus. If you go to church somewhere, don't leave your post unattended. Anyways, so David left the sheep with another shepherd. And he set out early the next morning with the gifts as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. So I guess they're back up on cloud 9 today. They're going to kill Goliath. They're, woo! Soon, the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. Verse 22, David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. He was more excited about seeing what was going on. He's like, here's the food. Let me see what's happening. As he was talking with his brothers, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks, and David heard him shout his usually taunt to the army of Israel. Okay? So you can see in verse 24 and 25, they're all talking about this giant. Have you heard about him? Have you seen about him? It's like social media back then. Verse 26, David asked the soldiers standing nearby, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? Now, David didn't say, who is this guy who is allowed to defy us out here because we are a tough army? It wasn't about David. It wasn't about any of that. It was about God. Who is this that's defying God? And these men gave David the same reply. That's the reward. So, verse 28, when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. And he went to David and he said, what are you doing around here anyway? Listen, brat, why are you here? Said like an older brother. He demanded, what about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? What happened to them? I know about your pride and your deceit. You just want to see the battle. What are you doing here? So Eliab got all angry with David. And David's like, what have I done now? I'm always in trouble. I was just asking a question. He's the irritating, annoying little brother. It's like you were not just asking a question. You have an agenda, right? But here's this scenario where Eliab, his brother, begins to provoke David. And he begins to come back at him because he's angry. And so David just keeps asking other people. Now, I'm going to give you 4 points tonight. And the first one is, I believe in order for you to set yourself up to be the next, you need to be provoked to the next. You need, now there's lots of stories we could talk about being provoked. Why in the world God, I'm going to share my password with somebody. Okay. So you have to be provoked to the next. Sometimes we got to be pushed into the next. Guess what? That argument with Tim Fox provoked me. It provoked me. Initially, it made me angry. And I was frustrated. And I was feeling sorry for myself. And he was wrong. And I was right about everything. And part of that is still true. But the truth is, it provoked something in me. It provoked something. It pushed a button in me. And sometimes we think, oh my goodness, the devil sent this to me. And no, maybe God sent it because he needs to kick you out of where you are. Because you're too busy complaining about everybody making you mad instead of being provoked to do what God called you to do. Shout, I need to be provoked. Only this side said that. Why? Why is that? Why did you guys not say that? You don't want to be provoked. Amen. I probably wouldn't say it, actually. You're setting yourself up for God to say, all right. So David's older brother was provoking him. He was angry for two reasons based on the questions he asked him. He was angry because he felt David was insignificant and this worthless little kid who had no right to speak up in this situation. How many people around our lives, usually those closest to us, spouse, mama, sister, brother, cousin, friend, they're the ones that come up and they can find that place that makes you feel insignificant and worthless, and they know what button to push. Eliab knew what button to push with David. And he was angry with him because he's like, listen, you don't have a right. You're not qualified to be here. He was also angry because he felt like he knew David's motivation for asking those questions. He said, I know the pride and deceit in your heart. Now, can Eliab see in his heart? No. No. He didn't know what was in David's heart. But what he had heard a little while before was Samuel say, God doesn't look on the outside, he looks on the heart over David. So don't you know there was some jealousy in Eliab? So he's like, you know, you got pride and deceit in your heart and all this stuff. And so he's angry, but his provoking was pushing David to kill something that was going to take him to the throne of the king. Listen, people will assume what's in your heart, and it is a tactic of the enemy. And you give them fuel, y'all. Things you say, comments you post, things you do, you give them fuel to assume what's in your heart. And it is a tactic of the enemy. And you better guard it in this season. Listen, there's been some provoking this year. Tell me if you haven't been provoked by politics this year. Tell me if you've not been provoked by racial stuff this year. Tell me if you aren't provoked this year over this week over a court case. I'm going to be real. I'm sorry. That's what you get. Cammy may be much calmer tomorrow and sweet and kind. She said no. Yes. I know I'm treading thin. I'm not telling you what. All of us in some way were provoked. The question is, did you allow that provoking to say, who is defiling what God said? Or did we say, it's my opinion, and I'm going to be provoked to tell you how I feel about it? Were we provoked to love or hate? Have we been provoked to be right or to be righteous? What has provoked you to do what you're doing next? It's quiet in here. Listen, God, if you allow him, will turn that pressure into purpose. Y'all are like, I don't want any more pressure. I felt like about last April, I felt like we were all in a pressure cooker. Whew. And then when the pressure starts lifting a little bit, you kind of forgot what your purpose was. Because you're trying to find your way again because you've been locked up in that pressure cooker for so long. This weekend is about finding your purpose again and being provoked to the promise. It is a turning point. Are y'all still with me? All right, hang with me. I know what time it is. All right, 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. This is David's first words. Hey, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There is no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You are only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted. Come on, Lord, make me like David. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and I rescue that lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I will club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I will do it to this pagan Philistine too. For he has defiled the armies of the living God. He didn't say to Saul, I've killed lions and bears, and I can prove to you how amazing I am. No, he said, I'm not going to let this idiot, this pagan, destroy who my God says he is. And he's not taunting us, he's taunting him. See, if we could recognize that when people share their opinion and they hurl insults, that it's actually affecting the kingdom of God in the earth, we might change how we respond. Or maybe you shouldn't respond at all. Saul finally consented. That means David was a pretty persistent little guy. So he's like, all right, go ahead. May the Lord be with you. You're going to lose, buddy. Here's point number two. Speak into the next. David left an angry conversation with his brother. He was all stirred up and provoked and thought, you're not the one I need to be talking to. I'm going to him because he's the one that's going to let me go and kill this giant. And he began to tell him, I will go fight him. I'm not scared. I've already killed lions and bears. I'm not letting him do this anymore. I'm going to open up my mouth and I'm going to tell you what's about to happen. There was something inside of David that without fear, he was willing to speak up and take the risk. To be the next, you have to be willing to open your mouth and speak what's in your heart. Because in Proverbs it says, whatever is in, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That means whatever's in your heart will come out of your mouth. That's why when you hear garbage and complaining and negativity and hate coming out of somebody's mouth, that's what's in their heart. It's not that hard to figure out. It's not a difficult process to understand. If it comes out of your mouth, it's down in your heart. And if it's in your heart, God can actually do something with it. That's what David did. He chose to open his mouth. What in the world gave David this kind of tenacity? All that isolated time in the field worshiping Jesus. All that isolated time that we have complained about all year, maybe just me, has complained about. And God's like, man, I gave you all that time. You could have hung out with me. You could have worshiped me. You could have known the word of God backwards, forwards, upside down. And you spent all your time being provoked and backwards and forwards with all of these issues and topics that I never even put in the earth. Listen, we have to begin to speak out of the places where we've been with the Lord. That's what David did. He had no fear because he had this personal relationship with God that absolutely no one could tell him wasn't real. So he had no hesitation to be a turning point. He didn't need to do it for position. He just wanted to defend God because he knew him. This moment was all about God, not about David. He made it clear in verse 37. He said, hey, he's defiled God. And that's all that mattered. This is where purpose is birthed. Not here. Right here. In your mouth. Purpose is birthed out of your mouth. Because what you speak way before it happens is what you begin to speak, where you're going, what's coming. When you speak, we're doomed, this is bad, this is terrible, this is horrible. It probably is. But talking about it isn't going to take you anywhere. So we have to recognize something gets birthed in our mouth. And I believe God is going to cause some of you in this room to open up your mouth again. Not about you, not about your plans, not about your opinion. Whoo, it's quiet in here. But you're going to open up your mouth about the promise. You're going to open up your mouth about purpose again. You're going to open up your mouth about healing, about restoration, about what God is saying over the earth and over your life. Listen, he's going to break fear off where you've been scared to say it and scared to declare it. I dare you to open up your mouth and say it loud enough so the devil can hear it. Y'all are shouting me down, but God's going to call you on it. You've been speaking, we've been speaking about everything else. You don't have a problem sharing your opinion about every controversial topic under the sun. The power of life and death is in your mouth. Well, I just need to say it. No, you need to type it behind your phone, your computer. And what you're saying is either bringing God glory or it's not. It's either producing life or it's producing death. It's that simple. Listen, there is fear breaking off of some of you to open up your mouth again. It's time to open your mouth and speak. Only what God has commissioned you to say. I didn't hear David say anything else that was frivolous information. He got to the point, he said what God commissioned him to say. Listen, your mouth is what kills the giant before a stone ever hits him. I will talk to the devil all day. I got up this morning because I'm like, I know you're going to try to do something. I'm just letting you know it's not going to happen today. I mean, like the mama finger. You saw that. I'm like, no, that's not happening. That's not going to be happening today. Ask me. I did not give him any place today. And I didn't have some 2-hour prayer meeting begging God to send angels around me to protect me from the devil. No, Jesus lives in me and I can speak to him and tell him you have no place. But if you won't open up your mouth, then the devil will run all over you and your life and your family and your marriage and your mess. It's time to open up your mouth. Listen, I don't speak from where I am. I speak to where I'm headed. You know y'all should be shouting at that. If you stay silent in some areas in your life, you may miss the miracle that God has for you. Angela, you just told us not to talk and not. No, I'm telling you, you need to change what you're talking about. Otherwise, yeah, just keep your mouth shut. If you stay silent, you may miss that miracle. Woo! Everybody stand up right where you are. Just stand up. Just stand up. Listen, I want everybody in this room right now to speak something over your life. I want you to practice open up your mouth. That feels uncomfortable in the room. I'll just do it by myself with the Lord. That's the problem. If you won't do it in here, you're not going to do it at Walmart. You're not going to do it at Target. And you're not going to do it with your friend. And you're not going to do it at work. And you're not going to do it at school. Come on, can we take the next 10 to 20 seconds and just begin to declare what God says over your life? God, we declare right now that you are going to be the healer of this nation. God, we declare right now that you're going to be the healer of marriages. God, I begin to open up my mouth. Come on, y'all, get loud, get aggressive. We open up our mouths in this room, God. Woo! Come on, believe it, believe it, believe it. Come on, can you believe it? Can you believe it? Woo! All right, sit down. You're done. I dare you to get up every day and start your day like that. Gina, Blaze, and I, I'm sorry I didn't introduce Gina. Will you just stand up really quick and wave at everybody? This is Gina Blaze. She's from New England Prayer Center. She's going to be teaching two breakouts, part one and part two, called Alive Inside, the next 2 days. She's a life coach. She's an author. She was just on Daystar TV. She's like kind of famous. And she has something to share. But we were talking last night, and she said, you know, Angela, I've just come to a place that, actually, she calls me Ann. She calls everybody Halfway, their name. Always, I love it. Ange, I can always hear Gina's voice. Ange, she said, Ange, you know, I just choose every day I don't get this day back. And what I do with my day and what I say and what I declare and what I allow myself to allow in my mind and my spirit and my soul and my emotions, I choose it every day because time is short. It was really short when I was sitting in the chair and God was like, you just want to come be with me? And I was thinking, not right now. There's some days I kind of want to check out and go be with him. But here's the thing. If you would start your day like that, why don't you make a turning point? How about you just declare some stuff and you begin to open up your mouth? Listen, God is waiting for me to speak. I have to speak the next in order to see the promise fulfilled. I got to stop complaining about what's next, and I got to change my words. The power of the next is in my mouth. I want the next generation to step into the next because I opened my mouth. We have this kind of weird fear that we're scared to speak truth to the next generation. I don't know what that's about. But it's like, ooh, I don't want to hurt their feelings, or you know, they may believe this, they may be gluten-free, they may be vegan, I'm just kidding. And so we tread on eggshells instead of telling them, listen, baby, that's going to kill you. Not being vegan, that's really healthy. But you understand what I'm saying? That relationship in your life, babe, that's going to kill you. Well, I just need to let them experience it. They have to learn through the hard knocks. I want the next generation to run into the next of what revival God has planned for this world because I opened my mouth. Tim is like, Jesus, Angela doesn't need to open her mouth anymore. Jesus, help us. All right, 1 Samuel 17. Yes, we're still there. Verse 38. Then Saul gave David his own armor. I love this part. A bronze helmet and a coat of mail, and David put it on and strapped the sword over it and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. I can't go in these, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off again, and he picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream, and he put them into his shepherd's bag. And then, armed with only his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistines. Here's point number 3. You need to dress for the next. You know this is going to be my favorite topic because of my little experience with clothing and shoes that I really enjoy. One of my favorite quotes that I love, I've used it a lot in my life, and I say, dress for the part you want to play. You know what that means? It means that if you're going to the interview and you really want that job, then dress for the part you want to play. Maybe if you're in theater, you need to dress for the part you want to play. I'm not saying everybody has to be in a three-piece suit and all of that. I'm talking about wherever it is God's assigned you, you need to be dressing for where you're going. Have you ever been going to an event or a party or something and it's very important to you to know what you're supposed to wear? What are we wearing? Like, is it formal? Is it informal? I mean, can I wear jeans? Can they have holes in them? Can I wear flip-flops? Does it have to be closed-toed shoes? Can I wear something sleeveless? Maybe that's just me. What do I wear? What do I wear? What do I wear? Sometimes the opportunity that may be in front of you is bigger than what you're wearing. Because David wasn't concerned about armor, and I'm sure Saul was looking at him like, you little dumb kiddo. Listen, you're going to die, baby. You should wear the armor. At least give it the Gipper effort. Come on, put the armor on. And David's like, no, because I came here in shepherd's clothes. I came here as a shepherd boy. And this is what I'm used to right now. And I'm not going to kill a giant in something that I'm not designed to step into just yet. But God's getting me ready for it. We're going to go there in a minute. Sometimes you show up to your opportunity dressed from the past. Listen, Luke 12, and I didn't give you guys this, Luke chapter 12. I think I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. Listen, the poor people at the projector, they're going to kill me. I'm sorry. Is that my son-in-law? No. Yes? Sorry, Noah. All right. Luke chapter 12. Yeah, he's my son-in-law. Isn't that crazy? Congratulations, Jazz and Noah. They got married March 12th. Whoop, whoop. I am now a mother-in-law. Legit. All right. I know how to get to Noah. I just cook. Anyways, listen, in Luke chapter 12, it says this. Think about the lilies. Luke 12:27. Think about the lilies. They grow and become more beautiful, not because they work hard to strive to clothe themselves. Yet not even Solomon, wearing his kingly garments of splendor, could be compared to a field of lilies. If God can clothe the fields and the meadows with grass and flowers, can he not clothe you as well? Can he not clothe you? We're trying to clothe ourselves with all the things that we think is going to work instead of asking God, will you clothe me for this circumstance? Will you clothe my mind and my words for this circumstance, Holy Spirit? Will you please clothe me for what I need to be wearing for this conversation that's about to happen instead of being in my fleshly clothes that I'm going to make a hot mess? Could you clothe me, Lord? One of my favorite songs right now, Tyra. How much more will he clothe you? Woo. Listen, David showed up in shepherd clothes. He wasn't a trained soldier. He didn't know how to wear armor. He didn't have any battle clothes or armor. He had been killing lions and bears with his bare hands in shepherd clothes. He wasn't ready for the armor because he hadn't killed the giant yet. God may be waiting on you to kill your giant so he can clothe you for the next. Listen, when you feel underdressed, and I hate feeling underdressed, y'all. That's like my worst. I'm just going to be real with you for a second. I can't stand to be underdressed. I hate to be the most underdressed in the room. Even if it's athleisure wear, I still don't want to be underdressed. But listen, when you feel underdressed, don't be intimidated when God opens up the door. Even though you don't know the rules and you don't know the protocol and you don't know the right thing to wear and the right thing to do and the whatever, 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 God might just be opening that door right in front of you. And you will talk yourself out of it because you don't know everything. If you'll submit yourself to the Lord, he's going to clothe you. He's going to put on everything you need. We were talking about this last night too, Gina. I said, I felt like a few weeks ago, I felt like I was dressed like a doormat, and God was like, I need you. God is making you. She gave me that word last night. God's making you the door for the next. I'm great to be the bridge and say, you go. Go in the front of the line, Go in the front of the line, and I'll just be the doormat. And God's like, I'm going to need you to stand up and be the door. All right, we're almost done, y'all, I promise. Maybe. All right, 1 Samuel 17. Yes, there we are. 41. Goliath walked out. I'm going to summarize a little bit of this so you guys know this. Goliath comes out. He's out with his little whatever it was. He was yelling, and you're a dog, and I'm going to kill you with a stick, and come over here, and I'm going to give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, and everybody's going to die, and I'm going to be the hero, and all this stuff that Goliath was saying. And in verse 45, David replied to the Philistine. He said, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you, and I will cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals. I am loving David's response. It's awesome. It literally is like a Facebook war right there. It's awesome. I'm going to feed your body to the... Anyways. And everyone assembled here is going to know that the Lord rescues his people. But not with sword and spear. Remember, he didn't have any of that. He's like, you're coming with me with all your armor and your big old shield. I mean, at the beginning of the chapter, it tells how much everything weighs and how amazing Goliath's stuff was. He's like, listen, you can come at me with all of that because none of that is a match for the Lord. Reaching in shepherd's bag, he took out a stone, he hurls it. Y'all know the story. Kills him, he falls face down, he goes over there, he takes out Goliath's own sword, cuts off his head. It's awesome. I picture myself doing that, mostly to the devil, but sometimes other people. So he reaches in, he cuts off his head. I want you to jump with me to 1 Samuel 18. Can we jump really quick? And I'm about to get on my last point. 1 Samuel 18. So this is now after he's killed Goliath. At the end of chapter 17, everybody's like, oh my goodness, David's amazing. He's so cool. He killed the giant. Woo! So there's this big celebration. And a couple of them are like, "Who is that kid? What just happened here?" So 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. After David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. Let me tell you something about Jonathan. Jonathan, in this day, if you know anything about royalty, if you watch The Crown, binge watch it like me, that he would have been considered the crown prince. He was next in line from a family royal bloodline standpoint. Jonathan. So it says, after David talked with him, he met Jonathan, the king's son. And there was an immediate bond between them, for Jonathan loved David. And from that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. Poor David. If you know Saul, that was a little torturous many days. Verse 3. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. And Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic and his sword and his bow and his belt. He took it all off and he gave it to David. And nowhere after that does it say David returned it to him or he refused it. He put it on. Do you know why? Because now he had killed something. Now, this little shepherd boy, this killing of this giant made a gateway from nobody shepherd boy to prince. Now, he was already going to be king because God had already anointed him to be king, but his anointing is not what got him to that place. It was killing the giant. It was being the next for what he was supposed to be there for. You can have all the anointing in the world and never step out and do what you're supposed to do. That's what God was talking to me about in the chair. girl, I have anointed you and I've done these things and I've put this in you and I've put this on you and I've put this assignment on you. And what are you doing? The anointing's not going to get you there. You got to get up and be the next. So all of a sudden, Saul's armor that he wouldn't wear and couldn't wear and made no sense and felt so out of place, in a moment, now he's got on the prince, all of his armor, all of his robe, all of his clothes, all of his, and now he's recognized with that authority. It's like Aladdin. It's just like Aladdin. The genie comes out and he's like, poof, you're a prince. It's awesome. I'm going to get some comments about that. I'm a Disney fan, people. Just, it's okay. Don't get all wrapped around, whatever. Anyways, listen, sometimes your clothes don't fit how you see yourself. And I think when David first put on Saul's armor, he was thinking, I don't see myself in this. But after he killed that giant, all of a sudden something shifted. See, when you decide to step in and do what you're supposed to do and be the next, and God shows up and backs you up, all of a sudden you're like, hey, I just might be a little bit of all that. And that's okay, because it was all God's plan, not mine. So this feels so good in my new clothes. Listen, stop trying to fit into something that you're leaving. Stop trying to fit into something that you're not staying there. Take that for the last year. If you want to stay in that bondage that everybody's been arguing over, you go ahead, but I'm not staying there. So I'm not going to quit trying to fit in here. I'm going to come up here. Y'all will get that later too. Listen, God's not dressing you for your past. He's dressing you for your future. It was still 20 plus years before David ever became king when he put on that armor from Jonathan. He still had a ways to go. I mean, he ran for his life over and over. He was almost dead. He committed all these sins. He did all this stuff. But God never changed his mind. All right, last thing. Point number four, worship team, y'all can come. I'm going to dare you tonight to fight to be the next. If there was one thing David could do, it was fight. Listen, it's time to fight like a girl. You know what? I don't know of a girl who doesn't want to win. That's why girl fights at school were way more entertaining than boy fights. It's hair, it's earrings, it's whatever's happening. Shoes. There really nothing is off limits, including insults. I mean, like nothing. Here's the thing. It's time for us to have some fight back on the inside. If I don't tell you anything else tonight, that I want you to be the next, if you won't fight for it, you will never get there. David had to fight tooth and nail. Everybody had to fight against his brothers. He had to fight against Saul. He had to fight against all the people, probably, and all the Philistines. He had to fight against Goliath. He had all these people he was having to fight with. But nothing backed him up. He kept going, and he kept going, and he kept going. You got to choose to fight to be the next. Listen, nobody was impressed with David until he killed the giant. They all became curious about that point. At no point was it like, oh my goodness, David has the best Instagram. He's an influencer. He has these great followers. No, he was a giant killer, and nobody knew it till he did it. Quit talking about it and posting fake pictures about it. Go do something. All y'all staged pictures, they are stressful. You know they're staged. You're like, I've got to get the background. I got to get this. I got to get this. I'm like, nope, nope, nope. Let's do that. Nope, nope. Oh, Jasmine says to hold it here. Okay, nope, nope, nope. You know what? The lighting's just not good. I'll just do it later. There's nothing real about it. Anyway, sorry, that wasn't the message. But David had to be willing to fight for it. Are you willing to fight? You're gonna be like, I came to Priceless. They told me fight. Listen, Karina Miller, who was up here leading worship earlier and shared her testimony about her husband. Listen, that girl does some taekwondo. She's got some, I don't know how many belts she has, like the black belt, the yellow belt, the green belt, the purple belt. I don't know what belts are in taekwondo, but she has several of them. She scares me a little. Is she behind me? She scares me a little. Like, she could come up here right now, we could fight, and I would lose. But listen, God's assigned you to fight the fight you can win because he's told you and he's with you. You got to be willing. You need to be willing to kill something bigger than you. You need to be willing to kill something stronger than you. You need to be willing to take the risk and say, I'm not scared because God said, and it's not about me. And if I do it his way, I will win. You got to be willing. You've been tolerating. God spoke this to me on the way tonight. I went back and had to type it. God said there are people in this room, you've been tolerating the giant. You've been tolerating the giant. You just watch him taunt you back and forth. And you're like, well, maybe somebody else will come to kill him. Maybe somebody else will come do it. I'm just not ready yet. I'm not strong enough yet. Well, my goodness, when are you going to get up and do something about it? Goliath was the thing that became the gateway to take David to the... It was the gateway to his destiny to be king. That's why I said in the beginning, it wasn't that David had to kill Goliath. Goliath had to reveal David. Jonathan was next in line, but David's fight put him next in line. Do you understand that? He wasn't next in line till he was willing to fight and win. Fight for it. I'm going to kill that giant. I'm going to cut off his head. Some of you need to quit tolerating and avoiding the giant in your life. When we were singing earlier, when I thought I lost me, you know where to find me. God's tired of looking for you. I love that song. It's a good song to sing. I'm not saying that. He does pick up our pieces. But some of you in this room, he's already picked up your pieces and you're still sitting there. He's already come. He's already been at work. He's already been putting things in order. He's already been realigning things. And you're still sitting there waiting for somebody to beg you or ask you or do it for you. Come on. Some of you have lost your fight. There are some of you that are called to ministry in this room and you've lost your fight. Listen, there's healing tonight. There's freedom tonight. There's restoration tonight. And all those things have to happen so you can find your fight again. About a week after I had this last surgery, like I told you, it was really bad. It was a tough surgery. And I'm pretty resilient, if y'all know me. I'm like, literally, I was here with three drains hanging under my dress at Easter. I was like, I'm not missing church. And Savannah gave me the best word ever, but I can't say it over the microphone, but it was good. But here's the thing. I'm resilient and all that, and it was about a week after the surgery, and I was in such a dark place, and I shared this with the ladies on Monday. I've never had a panic attack in my life, y'all. And I had a panic attack. I was like, that's not even real. That's never going to happen to me. I'm a control freak. That's not going to happen. And I mean, I thought I couldn't breathe. And Tim and Jazz, they didn't know what to do with me. They're just like, no, you can, it's okay. No, you can breathe. And it was crazy. And I was in a really, really dark place. Really, really dark place. And there was about 2 days that I'm telling y'all I lost any kind of fight that I could have had in me. And I was scared to death I was going to lose it forever. I'm like, I just, maybe I'm not strong enough anymore. Maybe I just can't do this anymore. Maybe. Some of y'all need to find your fight again. God's going to shake you out of that dark place. Come on, just stand up with me. I know I went a little bit long, but y'all got to put up with all of my realness. Just close your eyes with me. I hope I provoked somebody in the room tonight. I hope somebody realized that you've been clothing yourself and God wants to clothe you. I hope somebody realized you've lost your voice and it's time to open your mouth. I hope somebody realized you've lost your fight and it's time to get up because God is with you. Holy Spirit, I just thank you right now. You're here. You're in this room. You're here to meet us face to face. Thank God we don't have to be distanced from you, God. We're so grateful for your presence, God. And if we could just get our pain into your presence, you will turn it into purpose. And tonight I'm asking you right now, if any of these hit pain points on the inside of you, you need to get your pain into the presence of God tonight. Not so that he can numb it with a painkiller, but because so he can heal it. No more escaping. God wants us to bring it in his presence tonight. Come on, if that's you, I just want to invite you to come up. This altar is open. I want to invite you to come up and be brave enough tonight and be strong enough to say that there's some of these things I got to deal with. I got to deal with in my life. Come on, if that's you, come join me in the front. Come on, don't wait. Come armed exactly how you are. Come exactly how you are. Come in your shepherd's clothes tonight. Come in whatever it is tonight. Come because exactly how God created you, he's going to use everything on the inside of you. And he's getting ready to provoke some of you to change. He's getting ready to cause a fight to be shaken back on the inside of some of you. You're going to get your voice back. You're going to get your voice back. Women in this room, you are going to get your voice back. How much more will he clothe you? Come on, if you're up here, just lift your hands. I'm going to ask the ministry team, anybody who's here, if you just come. I want somebody, if you can, stand with every person. Holy Spirit, right now, in this opening night of this weekend that's been set apart and set aside because we're hungry, God, tonight, I'm asking you to come and show up face to face with every one of these women. Come on, tonight, if you're up here, I want you to begin to use your own words. I'm not going to pray your prayer for you. I'm not going to pray your prayer for you tonight. I need you to get some fight on the inside of you and begin to declare, God, I'm exchanging this for this. God, I've been allowing this thing to provoke me, but I'm asking you to change me. God, tonight I need to change my clothes. In this atmosphere, in your presence, God, I need to change my clothes. God, I'm asking you, Lord, there's some things I got to stand up and fight the enemy. I got to stand up and fight. I'm tired of being the doormat. Come on, begin to speak it out of your mouth. Begin to speak it out of your mouth. Begin to speak it out of your mouth. Come on, I'm telling you, when you begin to declare it, when you begin to pray it, when you begin to say it, that's where it's birthing. That's where it's birthing tonight. Speak where you're headed, not where you are. Come on, come on, come, come on. There is identity being released in the room tonight. I speak identity, 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 who you are, who you're called to be in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, don't settle. Don't be satisfied if you don't feel something shift on the inside of you. There's a shifting. There's a shifting tonight. There's a shifting tonight. There's a shifting tonight. We're never going to be the same. I'm never going to be the same. I'm coming out of this pandemic. I'm coming out of this mess. I'm coming out different. I'm coming out different. It's a new day. It's a new day.
You have loved me in your victory.
It's a new day. It's a new day.
It's a new day.
Come on, don't be satisfied.
It's a new day.
Don't be satisfied.
You have clothed me in your victory. I'm living on behind all who I was. For you have clothed me in your victory. It's a new day. It's a new day. For you have clothed me in your victory.
Day. It's a new day.
You have clothed me in your victory.
Come on, tonight's about finding. It's about finding Him. It's about pursuit. It's about pursuit. Come on, can we? If you're at your seats, would you just put your hands up here? Will you begin to worship? Will you begin to pray? Would you begin to release something? Can we raise a fight out of our spirits in this room tonight? Can we raise up a fight in this room? Come on. This is not a night to be quiet. This is not a night to be solemn. This is a moment to rise up and find your fight and find your voice again. Come on. It's that kind of night. It's that kind of night. just heard the Holy Spirit say, some of you have been fighting, but you've been fighting the wrong things. Come on, if that's you, ask God to show you. You got to shift that. Some of you are like, I didn't lose my fight, but you've been fighting the wrong things. You've been fighting the wrong things. It's time to fight in the Spirit. It's time to fight in some places in the Spirit. It's time to fight over your soul. It's time to fight for your purity. It's time to fight for your identity. It's time to fight for those things. It's time to fight over those things. Come on, we've been found in this room. I need you to tell them, find your fight on the way out. Tell them, find your fight, find your voice. Tell them something out of this message. Speak life and speak the word over them on the way out. Something is shifting. Something is shifting over us, ladies. It's shifted tonight. Amen? Woo! Listen, we're going to stay and minister. If you need prayer for anything else tonight, we will pray for you. Otherwise, very safe travels home tonight. We have an amazing power pack day tomorrow, all right? 9:30 in the morning, 7 tomorrow night. We're going to see you for that, all right? Have a blessed night.